This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Happy Friday to everybody. Let's get to our headlines here, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory with the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai. Miami Heat, they lose last night. Their six-game win streak snapped. 110-108. Ja Morant beats them at the buzzer. Cheated on his game winner.
Dirty.
Kalel Ware. Cheated. As Kalel put last night, a lucky shot. Let's hear from Eric Spoelstra after the game. This is what Spo had to say on the end of game and what happened and his view of things. And, you know, Spo always waxing poetic on stuff like
that. I mean, there's part of it that's okay. I mean, these are really important, you know, teaching points. You know, we're at our best when we're active, not just leaving a guy on an island. We feel fully comfortable with Kalel, you know, guarding, you know, a lot of different kinds of players, you know, especially in an ISO situation, but not on an island. You know, that's probably the biggest takeaway. We had opportunities probably late, you know, to really, you know, bring a second guy, you know, there. Just didn't do it, and we have, you know. But look, this was a great basketball game. We're not happy, you know, with the way it went down the stretch. But we're becoming a very tough team. You know, this 3 weeks ago would have been on a second night of a back-to-back, probably a double-digit, you know, game once they made their push. They made a push, you know, two or three pushes there in the fourth quarter. And we're not going anywhere. Our execution's getting better. You know, this was really a game about relief. And I think they won relief probably in that fourth quarter. You know, a couple of those offensive rebounds, putbacks, and then, you know, a couple, you know, easy ones in transition. The kick out, which was basically a transition one. But the execution stuff, I think we did a pretty good job. We're definitely making progress there.
All right, there you go. Spo yesterday after the and I agree with him. I think that that was a game you could have definitely fallen apart in the way that the third quarter was going, and said it was a great back and forth, a ton of lead changes, ties. It's a great game. It's a great game. I mean, the only disappointing thing about it is honestly just that the Memphis Grizzlies as a team have been struggling, but they're a talented team. I mean, like, it's not like you look upon there and you see Jaren Jackson Jr., Desmond Bane, Ja Morant. You're like, oof, those guys are bums. You
yeah,
know?
It didn't. The thing is that they're a really good team. They have a lot of talent. I didn't know Jaren Jackson shot threes like that.
Lucky.
And I would say I agree with Spo, but if the coach was thinking it, why wasn't that relayed to the players? You know what I mean?
I mean, you can. I think it probably was like you can only do so.
No, I know.
Because
that's the only thing that
Trust me, Kalel did
a hell of a job. Kalel did a hell of a job on him, but you don't want him shooting the shot.
No, you definitely don't. But also, they may try and, you know. I agree with you. You probably in that situation, the way that he was going, you throw 2-3 guys at him, be like, just sell out and be like, Bane, you've been building a brick house. You try and go beat us or Pippen. But, you know, I think you got into that situation. They have a big man on him. He had been doing, we saw this yesterday with Tatum. Like he was doing a really good job with having guys out there isolated. He's not lethargic as a big guy, despite John Morant referring to him as a pigeon. He looks like he can move. Like he's not Bam. Nobody is, but yeah. He's not, it's not like he got a big stiff out there. John made a great shot. Perhaps lucky, perhaps cheated, but tip of the cap, you know, here was Bam after the game.
You know, we got to get activated. You know, we preach that, never leave a guy on the island, especially when it's 4 seconds left. That's when, you know, it's time to make a play. But John made a tough play tonight.
First time playing the Miami Heat since October of 2021. Somebody asks, is he bigger or smaller in person?
Smaller.
I would say he's about what you expect.
He's tiny.
He's tiny. He's not very big, but he, you know, I tell you who's big. Big. I was boots on the ground yesterday. And I don't know if I mentioned that, but I was boots on the ground yesterday. And I was out there for John Morant doing his warm-ups, his whole action. And very awkward. Usually, so I'm on basically the floor seats right now, Leroy. I'm just sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, the visiting team will do their scouting reports with their players, like whoever they warm up with, they'll do their scouting with.
Mm-hmm.
They'll typically do it on the bench, like the bench that's across from us. That's the bench. For whatever reason, there was a lot of people there last night. So the Grizzlies started sitting on the floor seats on the other side. And so this giant behemoth, Zach Edey, just sits next to me and he's like,
anybody
want a peanut?
But I was like, holy crap, this guy is gigantic.
Wow. I forgot he played for them. I forgot. But I don't know, man. Immature. Got lucky. I don't think I want him as a Heat player anymore. I think Leroy was right. Andrew Wiggins is better.
Well, come on. He was good yesterday. You can't deny. Like, you watch that guy and you're like, oh, my God.
And what do you have? Three points
in the
first
half? Can I say it this way?
Yep.
That I think Wiggins fits better.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Let's just say hypothetically.
Mm-hmm.
What's the thing that worries you the most about him? Okay.
About Ja?
Let me just, yeah. Is it?
Oh, I got a list.
Is it fit? Is it maturity? Or fit, is it
maturity, poor spot selection, his efficiency, and space? The guys that they have on the team now, everybody on the floor can shoot a three. So that enables Spo to do a lot of different actions, to put a lot of different players, move a lot of different players around.
But he's an elite. He's elite at getting to the rim. Like, few, yes, you know, he's
absolutely. Elite
at getting to the rim, getting the free throw line. Like,
we had that guy.
We did.
But he also played defense. So now you're going to get that guy with no defense?
Maybe Tyler, like, you know, he's done so good defensively.
You're not answering my question.
He becomes like, you know.
He asked me for reasons why,
Tyler,
and I gave him five. He just keeps it moving.
Tyler becomes Kirk Heinrich in the offseason as well. You know, like he just adds that defensive element to his game.
I want Tyler.
Ja Morant, this is from NBA. The Memphis Grizzlies guard Ja Morant has been fined $75,000 for twice making an inappropriate gesture on the playing court. It was announced today by Joe Dumars, executive vice president and head of basketball operations. Morant previously was warned by the league that this gesture could be interpreted in a negative light, the gestures were made by Morant during the Grizzlies' 110-108 victory over the Miami Heat. I feel like John Morant's gonna. I feel like John Morant is going to pull a Mr. Baseball. Remember Mr. Baseball, Tom Selleck?
And do what?
Tom Selleck got fined. He was a baseball star, and he got sent to Japan. And he was very salty about it because he thought that he was still a major leaguer. So he got sent to Japan, and you know Japan has a very humble nature and culture of their baseball.
What?
They do.
Their fans act a fool.
You're thinking of Koreans.
Okay.
And Japan, their players, if they hit, if like it hits somebody, the pitcher bows. Well, Tom Selleck, he would disgrace and he would break his equipment and freak out after strikeouts. And so the manager fined him. I believe it was like whatever it was, $100. And at the time, the interpreter comes up to Tom Selleck and he's like, "Hey, you're being fined $100 for disrespecting your equipment." And Tom Selleck reaches into his wallet, gives him $200. And he goes, "What's this for?" He goes, "That for the next time."
It's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Hey, all I'm saying is you're basically explaining to me Jimmy Butler without the defense. Hmm. That's what his game is.
But younger.
Young.
Yeah. Still Jimmy Butler without the defense.
More offensively gifted as well.
Is he?
Yeah. First of all, he's
same type of game.
He can hit a three-point shot.
Dude, come on. John Morant is
one,
it.
One looks a the little more thing, exciting.
John Morant is an elite scorer. Like he's averaged 27 points in the league. Like he's a great scorer.
It's volume.
But he takes shots at the rim. Like he's great at that. He's not a good shooter. Neither was D Wade.
Yeah, but they surrounded him with shooters.
He's gonna have Tyler Hero in his backcourt, dude.
Dude, I'd rather Tyler Hero be that guy.
He can't be that guy.
I trust the float mingo more than I trust Ja doing the right thing on the court.
Why not both?
No, because here's where the adult in the room is going to squash you. Mm. Okay? First of all, stop falling for flashy things. You're not a barracuda. Okay? You're a human. So that means you got to look at the big picture and you got to look at everything that a player brings. Okay? Here's what he brings. He brings scoring. He brings free throw shooting. Dunks. He brings finger guns. And he brings no defense.
But dunks.
It doesn't.
Oh, dunks.
Dude. Harold Miner was a dunker.
Dude, you're calling him Harold Miner. Come on.
No, Roy. I'm just saying.
Come on. Now, immature.
Timbo said, "I thought Leroy wanted somebody who could drop 30 a night." Yes, but the way in which Ja has to get his 30 will stop everybody else from scoring.
I don't think that's true. Like, I don't know what you're imagining Ja Morant being. Like, we can say a lot of things about his maturity. The way that he scores the basketball, the thing that I would worry about with him is, oh my God, he's tiny.
And oh my God, he plays zero defense.
No, it's not that. What I would like, look again, how many
we're talking about the Heat,
Leroy, how many elite scoring guards in this league are stoppers?
Right. But
like zero.
So you're going to put two of them in there.
I got, if let's just say theoretically,
you're going to put two of them in there.
Theoretically, if I had Bam and Kalel, okay. And give me an elite. If let's just say we keep Wiggins in the trade, those are three guys out there. Elite defenders behind these guys. Figure it out, baby. And maybe you
know
stagger.
What I'm gonna say? You know what I'm gonna say? Here's what I think it's gonna be. Crisscross applesauce. Pick, got him. And then Ja's gonna be hanging on the back of a 6'7" point guard. Okay.
It's always gonna happen, though.
Wait. Let me ask you a question.
There's no perfect fit for you, though.
How does Ja work with if they play Boston?
How does Ja work? Well, they're going to lose Drew Holiday this year, so that's tough.
Oh, whatever. So
it's going to be, it's going to be Pritchard. It's going to be Pritchard and Derek White.
Okay.
Okay. And good luck. Good luck stopping them. You got
Jalen.
You got yeah,
Tatum.
Maybe.
Porzingis.
Porzingis isn't going to be there next year.
Okay.
It's going to be Cornette.
Okay. And so my question to you is, how's that going to play out?
You think? Who's the guy? Okay, let me ask you this. So what's the fit for you? Because obviously the Heat need to make an upgrade. All respect to Andrew Wiggins. Like, you're not going to win into next year, and you're going to have some assets to trade, and you want to make an upgrade. So, like, give me the guy that you have. Because you always say, okay, the solution. You're mocking my solution because you think Ja Morant's too flawed, too immature, too small, not going to last. Fine. And the only thing that really would concern me about Ja, to be honest with you, all this immaturity nonsense, is that he's a high flyer. He's and that doesn't age very well. That to me is the biggest concern.
Okay, so why are you giving me a hard time about this?
Well, you didn't bring that one up.
Oh, so wait, you had a reason why you wouldn't want him.
And it's not enough. Well, it's not enough of a reason for me not to want him. I'm just saying that's the, that to me.
Ever, and once Marcos, once this man says I want him, it's going to be a cold day in hell to get him off of that boat. It just is. It's always been.
Okay, but who's the guy? Like, so like,
who's
you want
to be available? Give me my options.
Trey, Ja, Kevin Durant, Zion. Those are the four that I can think of right now.
Okay.
Maybe Giannis, but obviously that's a pipe dream.
Of the four, I'll list those four in order.
Okay.
KD. Zion. Ja.
Ooh.
Trey.
I don't hate your list.
The last three, questionable.
I mean,
I can count on KD for 12 minutes. That's the problem I have with that.
He's old.
Yeah, that's what 12 minutes means.
He's old.
So, Zion, listen.
What if we took KD out?
He is one beignet coming into the door like George Niang.
What if I took KD out of it? If it had to be those three. Because Trey Young's no defensive stalwart either.
I would
either.
Go with Zion.
Okay.
And that's only because the options
I'm
you
shocked
gave
by
me.
That.
The only options you gave me. Well, I'm just because I'm trying to figure out how this fits with the Heat.
So, I would take Zion.
You may hate Ja Morant.
No, I don't.
Because he's clearly the best fit.
No, he's not.
He averages 7 assists and 20-something points.
There we go, stat reader. Good for you. You can read.
What?
Okay?
But you have to look at how he plays. How does that fit?
How will I know until
with
I try?
The Heat.
How will I know how anyone fits with the Heat until I try?
But he plays. But the thing is, he plays the high scoring guard already in Desmond Bane. And I would say that Tyler Hero and him. Now, Bane's, I guess, a better defender. He's not a great defender. He's a better defender. But, man, he's a Hulk. I'll tell you that one. I mean, he's a moose. Also,
I would say,
tell you what,
all
man,
those guys,
whines a lot.
Zion. Zion is a better fit. Okay. Just based on, now I'm not saying that Zion is a better NBA player because all of these guys, besides Trey, miss a lot of games.
Yeah, you say he's a better fit, but I don't even know how he fits into the lineup unless you do something weird. Where do we fit Kalel, Zion?
Here's you go. You go Tyler. Whoever you want to start at point guard, whether it's I really like Davion, but I think he runs that second unit. Then I would go Zion, Kalel, Bam.
So Zion now, the three?
Huh?
Zion at three.
Now I will say this. That will have to be decided simply because
that means you don't really have a whole bunch of 3-point shooting.
Yeah, you need somebody who can shoot better than
so,
that.
So between you can go Bam, it would be Bam, you would go Zion, and then maybe a Dunks or, you know, somebody like that that can shoot.
That might have worse defense, though, than the Ja Tyler Hero lineup, because at least in the Tyler Hero lineup with Ja, you would have a Wiggins, you know, theoretically.
Theoretically.
Theoretically, of course.
I mean,
of course, unless Pelle Larsson becomes Thunder Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
I just think that there's things that worry me about all of them, right? I can't have a point guard that has to play the whole game with an ass in his face. Sorry. Sorry.
That's Trae Young, I'm assuming.
Yeah, you're going to get back down by everybody. Yeah.
But there is no perfect option, I think, is what.
Tell you what, though, he's a
great. Because there's not that. What's available, like, you can say, I'm going to make it fit, or we're going to try to make it fit, but you're making a big investment on any of these guys. So if I'm going to make that big investment, as much as I said, no, I'll pass, right? If that's my four options, I'd go KD first. Because then if it doesn't work out, you still have some flexibility. With all the other guys, you're stuck.
Cody says Ja was cooking Hero. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, Cody. At least Hero had the balls to stand in front of him. Ja Morant was hiding on Pella. Lucky shot. Take a break. Back after this.
Well, take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Let's get to a little cat talk here with you. Brought to us by our friends at Hollywood Kia. At Hollywood Kia, the number one Kia deal in all of Florida. Get the star treatment. We want to see you in a Hollywood Kia. Visit them online at HollywoodKia.com. Panthers will be back at it tomorrow, taking on the Ottawa Senators. But I have an update on him, Marcos.
What do you got?
From Jameson Olive, Panthers.com. Alexander Barkov with an upper body injury is day to day, but out for the weekend. So no Barky this weekend.
The whole weekend.
No Barky this weekend.
All right, I'll be checking.
No Barky this weekend. 2 o'clock is your puck drop tomorrow against the Senators, but no Alexander Barkov.
Better not be at Elbow Room this weekend.
I'll be watching. What do you have to do with anything?
I know how you Panthers do. I'll be watching.
Oh, man.
That's unfortunate, but it's okay. We're going to get healthy at the right time.
Looks like they moved. They're mixing the lines a little bit, according to Jameson, with the lines Boquist, Sam Bennett, and Rhino top line with Lustarinen, Anton Lundell, and Marchand. Hey, Marchand, welcome to the fin line, dude. Welcome to the fin line, dude. Verhaeghe, Rodriguez, and Samuskevich, and then Greer, Nosek, and Gadjevich, the ass kicker line. Sergei Bobrovsky in net tomorrow, which means Vanacek will go against Detroit. So that is your look at the Cats this weekend. Barkov, that's the big news. Barkov is out for the weekend, Leroy.
All right.
So we got Barkov out. We got Kulikov out. Sturm's out. Kachuk's out. And Ekblad, who's a good boy, is suspended. I saw Koepka yesterday, by the way.
Huh?
I saw Koepka sitting on a – he was sitting a couple seats down from Larsa Pippen.
Oh, okay.
Oh, watch out, Koepka. Careful.
Mama Pippen was watching little Scottie Pippen.
He is way too old.
Who?
Brooks Koepka.
For Larsa Pippen?
Yeah. I'm like, what are y'all doing? Brooks Koepka got a little bit of... Brooks Koepka got a little bit of gray. You Man. Know that ain't going to fly.
Well, speaking of Brooks Koepka, Leroy, where can people find him this weekend, huh?
Live, live. So it's really cool. We went out there yesterday. It's if you've been to Trump Doral and you go back to see Live, it looks like a different place. The buildings, the stages, the DJ sets, the street food, everything is just amazing there with how they basically just built a small city around golf. So that's one of the things that's amazing. Also, you don't have to worry about moving around. You can sit your tail in one spot, have some drinks, some food, and watch all the golfers from one spot. You don't have to come in the morning or the evening. They all tee off at the same time. So here's what you need to know. If you want to watch some quality golf, you want to watch major championship winners, you want to watch guys like John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Sergio Garcia, DJ Johnson. DJ. We've seen so many guys. And our guy, Gooch. Say hi to Gooch if you see him out there for us. Like, they have huge DJ sets. It's music going on all the time. They have epic street food. You know how we like our street food down here. Scott Punk legend, Sublime, is headlining concert on Saturday night. All you got to do is grab your tickets at livegolf.com. That's livegolf.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Oh, hello, Jennifer.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
How's Halo going?
I'm more of a Call of Duty kind of person, so.
Oh, okay. I understand. It's too futuristic, Halo, you know?
Yeah.
Too much nonsense. You get right down to the nitty-gritty of war.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can picture JFig pulling a Leroy Jenkins.
Just going in. Let's do this.
Damn
it, Leroy. No, Leroy. Damn it.
Let's mix it on up, dude, huh?
Let's do it.
What do you got for us today, Froggy?
Yesterday, a tough loss indeed. But if you are going to look at any positives, it is definitely one of those games where you look at and you say, if every loss was like this, I would be okay. With that being said, we were able to hear from a few of the Heat players yesterday. Try to maintain that same positive outlook, including a bright performance by Boy Wonder himself. And I know he got called a pigeon, but Khalil Ware definitely had an impact on the game. This is the pigeon, the 7-foot pigeon himself, talking about the growth he has experienced and the team has experienced during these past couple months.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we were on a 10-game losing streak at first, and, you know, with us, you know, being on that 6-game that we was just on, we should have got that one. But, I mean, you know, it's growth there, and all we got to do is continue to keep that up, so we'll be good.
Yeah, I mean, you think about days ago them losing the same way to Cade Cunningham, but that was for a 9th straight loss. And now you do it, and it's after a 6-game where you have at least the blueprint. You know that, all right, we can find our way out of this. You know, I mean, I'm sure the Bucks coming into town will help. That's always going to juice you up, especially Giannis coming into the building. you are locked into the play-in now. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting how these next few days play out, because you do have some guys who are banged up. So, you know, where will that all... I will say, the one good thing that was notable yesterday, Spo did mention not having Andrew Wiggins, which makes me feel like Andrew Wiggins is coming back. Because I was like, I don't know, what's the... You know, he gave me that no timeline thing. Like, what the hell does that mean? You know, all of a sudden you're in witness protection.
Timeline. Everything else is on the timeline. Your season's about to end, damn it.
I'm sitting here. I'm like, oh, anytime he does that, I'm like, you might as well put the guy in witness protection as a Heat player. But when he mentioned that, I was like, he wouldn't mention him not being there unless he was going to be there.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. I felt like that was a tell by Spo. But I agree with Kyle.
I would just like, for one stretch, and I haven't seen it in years, everybody who is an active participant plays.
It would be nice. Hmm. What else you got, Marcos?
Talked about Tyler Hero, who has been stepping up in his first All-Star season. But not too long ago, he was just a rookie who we were happy to see contribute. Fast forward to today, or last night, I should say, and he is now talking about the rookies on his team and what they bring the Heat.
Obviously, Pella. I mean, we've seen Kaleo all year, you know, since he's been in the rotation, how dynamic he is on both sides of the ball. And he brings a great value to our team. And obviously, Pella, he does all the little things, you know, cutting, playing hard, rebounding, boxing out, doing everything that we need. He's an energy guy. And as rookies, you don't always see rookies that are able to come in and contribute. So it's good.
Well, listen, it is good. I love the way Pella's playing. And Davion Mitchell. I think that they've gotten a lot of great stuff from those guys. You know, slow-mo, didn't light it up like he did the day before. That's okay, because he was huge the night before. He's slow-mo. I'm not, you know, he's not Kevin Durant. I'm not expecting that every night from slow-mo.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
What?
Kevin Durant's name should not be mentioned with slow-mo.
That's my point, dude. That is exactly my point. All right.
All right. I mean, you should
literally
have
just
to
agreed
even...
with me.
Support. That's like me saying, Tobin,
okay,
he's no George Clooney, but that's my guy.
Whoa. Yeah, that is exactly what the point is. Again, you're agreeing with me.
You kind of favor George Clooney a little bit.
We are literally not. We are quibbling over an agreement.
This is a strange quibble.
I just think it, like different levels.
That literally is the point. That was the point of the point.
Okay.
Tommy Hutton would be very disappointed in you right now.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you're quibbling over an agreement.
Stop quibbling.
Mm. I mean, you mentioned those two together, and slow-mo feels like he came up.
Wow!
Look at the I'm in the same conversations with some of the greats.
Can somebody call? Can a referee come over here and call Leroy for a double quibble?
This is Inception level of quibble. This is a quibble within a quibble.
What else you got, Marcos?
I have from his podcast, The Edge, Leroy's second favorite football player, Micah Parsons.
Oh, he's not fond of Micah Parsons.
He does not like him. Does not like him.
I wouldn't say he hates him like Aaron Rodgers, but he's not fond of Micah Parsons.
Now, we are...
I mean, he's a... Can you be a great defensive player on one of the worst defenses in the league?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. No?
You don't think you can? I mean, it's a team game.
Hmm. Yeah, but I'm saying there are certain guys that play his position that change the game. Is he really changing the game when their team is still giving up monster numbers?
No, I don't think he's changing the game, but he's pretty good.
Okay. Okay, I'm not saying he's not good.
Yeah. No, but you just hate him.
No, I don't hate him.
Schmeathen says Trey Hendrickson boxed in. He's right.
What do you mean?
Trey Hendrickson led the league in sacks. They sucked on defense.
All right. Well, no, just all right. He just gave you, asked to name one, he named one. Max Crosby, another.
Also, their team also made the playoffs and went to the Super Bowl.
Oh,
are we doing current events, or are we doing the past?
Dude, I will fight you. Okay. What the hell's wrong with you? Right? No, son, because I can mention one name, and we almost got in a fist fight over it, and that's Jimmy Butler. Well, he got us to a finals. I said, oh, what if I use that same phrase for you?
Depends what the argument is. If you're being grown up, we can talk about it.
Oh, my goodness. The argument is Jimmy Butler.
No, it wasn't the argument. The argument was, can you be an impactful defensive player on a bad defense?
Max Crosby?
Their defense was good. They couldn't score.
I'm going to look what their defense was.
Hey, this is... He's going for blood. The reason I brought this up, Travis Hunter today, Colorado has their pro day. Travis Hunter known for playing both sides of the ball. Michael Parsons says he was supposed to be the first Travis Hunter and play both sides of the ball, but Penn State lied to him.
Be Travis Hunter before Travis Hunter. You know what, son, though? I average more yards per carry than you.
He's talking to Derrick Henry.
So when you got to Penn State, did they offer running back or you went straight to
the lied to me.
What happened? They told me I could play offense.
For real?
Yeah. And when I got there, they was like, you need to learn linebacker first. You need to do this first. And I was just like, all right. So freshman year, locked into low defense.
Yeah.
Learned it. Sophomore year, broke out. Junior year. COVID happened. I'm going to Coach Franklin's office. So I was like, Coach, you know, I'm thinking about heading to the draft. I don't know what to do. He was like, well, you can play offense now. I was supposed to be Travis Hunter before Travis Hunter.
I would have been fine, though, bro.
Huh.
Hmm.
Yeah. Does that happen, Leroy? Do they say, yeah, sure, but then try to, like, stick you with other duties? He hates Michael Parsons, dude. This guy hates Michael Parsons.
Let me choose my words wisely.
Oh, jeez.
To say you could have been a running back when you end up being, what, a top five pick?
Yeah. He was fast, though. He is like...
At the position you played.
What's his 40?
Penn State did not do you wrong. Okay? If you had gone undrafted and then you get into the league and end up playing running back, whole different conversation.
Imagine that.
They played you at one position. You went top five. They didn't do wrong by you.
Mike Raiders, Parsons, by the way, 27th in points per game last year.
Not a good defense.
Some of that is... Miles Jack, I remember him. He played running back and linebacker at UCLA. I remember him.
Michael Parsons
was 12th overall pick.
He was 246 pounds at the combine or at his pro day and ran a 4.39.
Yeah.
Only five players weighing 240 pounds or more have run faster than a 4.41.
We're aware he was a freak.
I mean, could have been running back. Could have been running back.
Nope. Nope.
Why not?
Why? Based on what?
He's big and fast.
He's not playing running back.
That doesn't make a running back.
But he's also, like, the thing with Travis Hunter, like, you're not playing running back and pass rush.
You're
right?
Playing
like,
DB and
DB
wide
and wide receiver. Like, it's so much different.
He's basically just running a bunch of sprints. But here's the deal. You say, ooh, 4.3, 240, he'd be a good running back. No. Like, you do realize some of the best running backs in the league did not run 4.3s or 4.4s.
No, that's the NFL. You need patience, vision. College, you can just be bigger and faster. Just run. Right. I should know. Let's get to Trey Hendrickson, who we were just discussing now.
Intangibles!
This is him on his contract still being up in the air.
Yesterday was April Fool's, so I was traded to all 31 teams and had like 100 different contracts. So the one thing I was hoping that was an April Fool's joke was that article, but called my agent, found out it was not. And that was a little disappointing because communication has been poor over the last couple months, but we're on the DN National Football League street. The market value for that is going up like it did for wide receiver last year. And where I fit in that road is all up to discretion and things like that. So we're willing to talk about those things. But with the market continuing to go up, I'm not going to apologize for that, because I've been basically asking for the same thing every year, to be solidified as a Cincinnati Bengal for life.
He's giving the old Tua, the market is the market.
Which is true. Like, listen, I'm a firm believer that if you wait to pay your guy and then the value goes up, that's shame on you. That ain't shame on the player for asking for more. The value changed. But then they're going to try to come back and say, oh, we'll give you what you wanted. No, 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 no. Yesterday's price isn't today's price. And these teams need to stop doing this. Jerry Jones is number one in all of this. He always end up having to pay maximum dollars for his players because he won't pay them early.
Whatever you say, Trey. Pass rushing.
Great. Anything else in the mixed bag, Marcos?
Yes, we have one more from another fan favorite on this show, Mr. Draymond Green.
Ugh. All right, what did he say?
Okay. Well, Draymond Green, as we know, is indeed a good defender, but a little bit long in the tooth.
A little bit.
Gray beard. A lot of cases are being made, though, that this is his last chance at potentially securing a defensive player of the year. This is the argument made for Draymond.
I spoke about it earlier in the year on my podcast. I spoke about it last year with Wimby and Chet, because obviously before the injury with Chet, everybody's like, yo, Chet, Wimby.
Real deal.
And they are, right? And get them young guys their credit. What they're doing is amazing. I think this is one of the last best chance I'll have. Like I said, I think I've put together a good case. I got another 6 or 7 games to continue to make that case. But whatever happens, I think I should win it. But I do wish luck to all the guys that are in the running, because it's an incredible thing.
I don't think he wishes them luck.
Here's what I would say.
Oh, really?
Draymond hasn't breathed through his nose since 2005. I would say this. If you have to go on a podcast and celebrate yourself for winning an award, you probably aren't worthy of it. Right?
His defensive credentials are very, very good. They always have been.
He's a very good defender,
and he has a podcast. What is he going to not talk about it?
I'm not questioning that. But how you go about saying you're a part of that sometimes rubs the old stogies the wrong way.
You can't really. Yeah, I guess. You can't really win. Like, Bam for years wouldn't do any of it. And, you know, he was getting left off of ballots completely. I think Rudy Gobert's the guy who really started whining about this DPOY the most. But I don't know if he's been the best defender this year. Dyson Daniels has been amazing. Evan Mobley's been amazing. I know Bam's not going to win it because of where the Heat's record is. Anybody on OKC, Lou Dort? I mean, OKC, you could have damn 4 different players win it for them.
No way, dude. Davion Mitchell. That is my selection off night.
Davion Mitchell's a really great defender, dude. He is tremendous. He's not going to get the love either because he got traded and he's a backup and all
that. You know what he is?
He's really good. But he is
a menace.
He's a dog, dude. He is real good.
Bruce Baldwin.
Schmeath and Schmolnick says Tobin is Lou Pork.
That's good.
Take a break. Final hour coming on up. Back after this.